Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got the one and only Lord Jushiro.
Hey everybody, good morning.
And we've got a returning friend now that he's back from all of his travels. We've got Claude 9.
Hello, everyone. I am back and ready to get
I'm here. Excited for your energy.
Yeah. Energy.
Yeah. But yeah, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And I want to start things off by letting Jushiro just tell us everything he's been doing, because he's been really excited. And I was totally in Seattle and didn't get to see him this week.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Planets couldn't align. Next time, for sure.
Next time.
As you can hear, I sound great. I've been playing Pokemon TCG, the original game for Game Boy, when it came out not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I think. And I downloaded and I got hooked. Hard again. Not only that, I played like...
You gotta come and play with me now. We gotta play together.
Yeah. I played 30 hours, and then I restarted it just because I wanted to start it again. It was just, so good. Anyway, that got me into downloading Pokemon Live, Pokemon TCG Live, and played there. And slowly but surely getting my butt back into the game, as they say. Still a newbie. Don't know any of the new cards still, not by memory. So I'm still working to get.
Did you merge or transfer over your Pokemon TCG online account?
Yes.
Follow up question: when you did so, did you have a bunch of unopened product so I can convert it into credits?
I did not.
Oh, one point.
No.
You missed out.
Okay. Yeah, I missed out. I know.
You missed out, because you could get a ton of like I still have so many credits left over from that transfer.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't used. I think I've gained credits.
Yeah, I think I've
them so far.
Yeah, I think I've gained credit. I've netted credits for the most part. In all honesty, I use probably something around 10,000 credits a set.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, which isn't that bad. Like, if to get the base level card is pretty cheap, especially now. Like, they dropped the price of EXs versus Vs terms of credits.
Finally,
yeah. Yeah, I think a basic EX.
Oh, on live. Sorry,
yeah,
I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. On live, they made the made them $650 or something instead of $1,200 or whatever they are, for basic Vs.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually very reasonable to build an EX deck.
Yeah. No, and the decks that it brings right now, I'm pretty. I have a love with the Charizard deck.
That Charizard deck is probably a pretty decent deck.
It is. I mean, I haven't tried them all, but that's my favorite right now because it's so fast.
It feels good.
Easy. Yeah, and it's easy to understand.
Yeah.
So I've been using that one a lot, but I need to explore more on the other ones. But TCG. What magical.
I don't think Charizard's the best, only because Path to the Peak exists in the format right now. So Charizard isn't the best. And typically Charizard's not running a lot of stadium removal options.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I have any stadium removal option in that deck.
Yeah, other than probably stadiums yourself, but...
And maybe one, and I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, so it makes it very hard when you play against Path to the Peak.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, super fun.
Well, I'm glad you're getting back into it. We'll have to.
Oh,
get,
yeah.
I was going to, after you told me that, so I had brought all of my cards with me to Seattle.
Because,
well, because I was originally, I found this like really small league challenge in Kent, Washington, when I was going there.
Oh, nice.
To the point where there were like maybe like 4 to 8 people that were going to show up. And I was just like, I could just go there. And as long as I, you know, win 50% of my matches, I will probably just go ahead and get points.
Yeah.
So I was going to go do it, but unfortunately my flight got delayed, so I ended up missing it on Monday.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I like, I had all these, I had all these cards. I had like, I kid you not, like 7 decks with me.
Damn. Yeah. It would have been nice to play on Mox.
I didn't need them all, but it's just, they have all my staples in them. So if I want to like make a change of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I've got all my staples there just so I can make the pivot. But yeah, that's, right. Yeah. What about you, Claude? It's been a while. What you been up to?
So I did a show. I went on vacation. I came back, and throughout all this time, I've been playing Pokemon. I need something to do while on flights.
Yeah.
So, I came back this week and I started the GS Chronicles hardcore Nuzlocke.
I did see that.
Yeah. We've been having some fun with that. Now that we got it set up and running, it's a fun little challenge. That's going on there. I'm, you know, playing a lot of Little Cup because I love Little Cup and it's a
Little
great
Cup
time.
Is the best.
Yeah. I'm slowly trying to figure out what I want to play and what I think is good in the TCG. I haven't been able to play TCG for a while, and I think I have to maybe wait till next week to actually start and like get to play again. But
yeah,
I'm looking at fun stuff for that. Still trying to make Meowscrata good, even though it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not, but I can dream. It has a decent Charizard matchup, and that's all that matters.
Like, spoiler alert, it is not good.
Hey, it beats Charizard, and if I get a decent start, I can beat Lost Box fairly easily.
That's fair.
Which is, like, you know, the two most important things I care about.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me.
So, I don't know, I'm trying to make it work. It's not great, but it's, you know, better than nothing.
Yeah.
It works. Yeah.
I've been doing, like, nonstop travel for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, I hear you. I had vacation into a wedding, so
it's just been like constant work travel. Like,
I have been traveling too. We all been traveling, I think.
It's been awful.
Podcast.
I'm so tired. Like, and you know what is worse is like I just don't see an end right now, which is like semi depressing because they've been having me travel a lot for work recently because I work in like a team of 3 people, and one guy is. He's older. He's like 47, 50. And he just doesn't want to travel as much anymore because he's got kids and everything.
Right.
I don't have kids, so I'm like, yeah, sure. And then the other guy that, who's younger with me, he just got married. So like he was on his honeymoon and like doing all the wedding prep. So I just like, I've just like fallen on the sword of doing all of the travel for the 3 of us.
Oh no.
And oh my gosh. If you would have told me a year ago that I would be traveling as much as I have been recently, I would be like, that sounds awesome.
Right.
And at this point in my life, I'm just going, this is awful. I just want to sleep in my bed. Cause like the past 2 weeks I've been in my house 4 days.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I get it though. Like, so I went to Cancun for a week, came back for 2 days, and then went to a wedding the next weekend, and then came back like literally on like last Saturday, Sunday. I'm like, all right, so it's been too much.
At least like one of those was like a vacation. Like mine have been all for
work. Yeah, yours all work.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mine's all work. Like I would love for one. Well, I do have one of them that's a vacation coming up because like I was looking at my schedule, and like I'm going to Pittsburgh in like 2 weeks because I'm gonna go to the Pittsburgh Regionals. And go play and have some fun if I can find a hotel to sleep in because I just canceled my Airbnb this morning, which is very annoying. And then after that, I've got to go to another conference like in the middle of September for a few days. And then after that, at the beginning of October, I'm going to Japan for funsies.
Oof, nice.
Just because we went like a few years ago, but we were just like, we want to go again, like go see more things.
Yeah, so, no, same.
I want to go to Japan.
Pokemon adjacent, but not exactly, is that the trip I did was to California to Universals to see the Mario World.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah, and exciting. Had a lot of fun. Got a lot of souvenirs, including COVID.
everyone's favorite souvenir.
Right, but no regrets whatsoever.
Did they sell that one in the gift shop?
No, they gave that one for free.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it's a lot of fun. If you haven't gone, it's great. You can go in a day because it's so small, at least the California one. And it's interactive and it's fun. And then the best thing about it is that I enjoyed, at least, is the fact that there were so many Easter eggs all around, including one where I could, I forgot to even tell my wife. It's like, I saw one with Pikmins.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's all, there was like three coins. And then when you notice real well, there was a fourth coin on its back, and then it was being carried by Pikmins, and it was a little Easter egg there for everyone to see. And it was just, it's so, yeah, definitely, recommend you, to go. It's a lot of fun. Don't get COVID, though. That part sucks.
Yeah, don't do that part. I wouldn't recommend that part either.
And think about it now. It was like, I'm stupid because, of course, if there's a park where you would get it.
Yeah.
It's Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Because everything's interactive and you touch everything.
Yep.
So, recommend go with gloves.
Get your goofy Mario gloves on, right? Like,
right.
Oh, man. So, I just got too many trips. Like, because there's more after Japan. Like, I've got more. I'm like both excited and exhausted thinking about it. Because I don't see in like the next, until like November. I don't see a time where, like, I'm at my house for more than 2 weeks.
Oof.
That's not fun.
Yeah, I know. I just want to be at my house. Like, I just want to stay here. Like, what's the point of owning this house if I can't be in it?
Right.
Oh, it's awful. But, yeah, I did want to talk. I found this really cool ROM hack this week.
Which one?
It's called Pokemon My Own Gym.
Oh, okay.
It's actually really interesting, and I'm kind of hooked to it. The only thing is, there's just like a lot of things that I would do differently in the ROM hack, and it's got me going, man, I could do this better. And like, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, how hard would it be to learn how to make a ROM hack?
what type of ROM hack are you trying to make? What generation is it?
It's Gen 3, but it's got like the Gen 5 nonsense in it too. Yeah, so it's probably not too bad.
Getting the Gen 5 nonsense can be difficult.
Yeah. We can talk about it later.
Okay. Because I know at one point I looked at, I can take, like, generic, like, any of the Gen 3 games and just change all of the, like, Pokemon and all the trainers.
Yeah.
I know. I do that very easily. It's like, after that, I'm like, alright, well.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting, because, like, at the beginning, you pick a type, and honestly, it makes the game harder. I'm not gonna lie. Because you're kind of forced to be monotype, but not exactly. Because there is, like, a small story, and when you do the story parts, you can use any Pokemon you want. But when you run your gym, you have to have Pokemon that fit within the gym. Well, it's either your type or they can learn your gym's TM. You can have up to two Pokemon that aren't your type but can learn your gym's TM. So, like, I picked fire, so my gym's TM is flamethrower. So any Pokemon that can learn flamethrower that isn't fire type, I can use up to two of those.
Okay.
So, like, I very early on, like, caught a Drampa or something, and so I was using Drampa for a little while. But it's actually really cool in that regard. Because it just, like, you can raise other Pokemon, but it's kind of a waste of your time for your gym. And, but it helps you out with the story. So it makes it a little bit harder because it forces you to have, like, extra Pokemon in rotation. So I do actually really appreciate that.
Sounds fun. Sounds like something that, you know, Game Freak should have done.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to stream it, just because it's interesting. And if we get really into it, I might go ahead and look into trying to design something similar on my own.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. But yeah, that's going to be it. I think we should kick it off here because we've been going on for a while, and I would like to kick it on over to Puckle, or to the news, because we've got some news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things. First of all, and obviously most important, because it's a slightly light news week, Mimikyu is at Build-A-Bear. So
that's actually super cool. I love the Pokemon Build-A-Bears. Like, yeah, I think that's such a cool concept and idea that I'm glad they made that partnership.
After they got out of, like, the original three starters, and Pikachu, I think all of the Build-A-Bears have been fun and interesting in terms of the Pokemon 100%. Selection. So I'm okay with Mimikyu being a Build-A-Bear. I'm okay with it.
It's just adorable.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, Jushiro, you've got this next one for Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, yeah. As expected, I'm trying to learn how to say this correctly.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. A convergent species for Sinistee. Was unveiled. It is sadly grass ghost. I assume sadly because we have lots of those already.
Yes.
With a new ability, hospitality, which heals your partner in doubles and a little bit.
Yeah. It's okay. I like it better than Sinistee if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
I like yeah. grass types, I like it but better. I feel like we've gotten a lot of grass ghosts
no,
in the past three generations.
Ever since Gen 6, they've just kind of laid on really hard with the grass ghosts.
Can we talk about the reveal trailer?
It was actually really good.
That was awesome.
It was actually
that was
really
so
good.
Cool.
It was great, but traumatic.
Yes. I'm really okay with it, though, because that was one of the best Pokemon reveal trailers I think we've had probably ever.
Absolutely.
It
10 out of 10.
So
not a critique.
It
was
story
just,
behind it. It was great.
It's just hilarious how the trailer finished with everyone dying and just the Poltergeist guys just winking at them.
We don't know if they're dead.
They might
just
be sleeping.
Their life force was sucked out of them.
They might
right.
be sleeping.
Well, potatoes,
it's like
potatoes.
The Shadow Realm.
Yes.
My favorite thing that, like, I was watching that trailer, and as I watched it, I'm just like, I guarantee you, for every Pokemon that exists, they have this level of lore, at least for the recent Pokemon, and they just right. don't tell us, because they're probably developing it as they're developing the design of the Pokemon to some extent, and they use it to, right. like, sprinkle into the games to make it feel like a more real world, but boy, would I just love a book of, like, that kind of lore.
Oh my god, yes, you imagine, like, an encyclopedia?
That would be so cool.
Why haven't they?
Yeah, they absolutely need it. They absolutely need it. Well, yeah. Let's move on. We got some, like, tournament news.
Oh, yeah. Besides that, like, are the prize pools for major events are being untethered to audiences, or to audience.
To
they've announced the location.
Yeah.
To attendance. That's a word. Prize pool, they've announced the locations and dates for three internationals that are coming up. They've removed Oceania, but LAIC, Latin America, is in November. San Paulo for Europe is in April. And then, I can't read. Let me try this again. LAIC for Latin America is in Sao Paulo in mid-November. EUIC is in London in early April. And NAIC is in early June in New Orleans.
Which is a change, because it's been historically in the Midwest.
Ohio.
So, well, it was in Indianapolis before Ohio. But, well, I guess it wasn't NAIC back then, I guess. It was just, like, national.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been historically in the Midwest. A lot of people did complain about it being in Ohio, which I kind of get.
Mm-hmm. At least they picked another big city where there's lots to do. Like, and it's easy to get to New Orleans.
And they moved it earlier. It's usually at the end of June. It's usually 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a bad time for me because there's a conference that I go to right
and
around there.
The 4th of July.
I have to look
people
and see how difficult
family.
It would be for me to attend.
I might go because I kind of just want to go to New Orleans. Like, I've kind of been looking for an excuse to go to New Orleans anyway for a vacation.
Same.
So I might just go to, like, maybe play some Pokemon, but then just go explore around New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. See, and I've been to New Orleans a couple of times. It's really cool. There's a lot to do, see, and whatnot.
I haven't, but I've seen on TV the activities and the parties, but the food looks so delicious.
Oh, it is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The birthplace of the Mufflada.
Yeah. I might go just to, worst case to spectate, I might go, but I kind of just want to go to a different city. I'm interested. Also, this is like super early for them to announce these dates, by the way.
Which is awesome.
Like, Pokemon did a really good job here, because it's always kind of been a pain in the butt, because they won't announce NAIC until, like, February, typically.
Right.
And so this is really, really good for them.
Maybe they had a change of management or something, new management.
They made some promises that this year they were going to try to have way better communication about tournaments, and so far it's been mostly true. My only complaint so far is that tournament registration has been... not been great, but that's partially because TCG specifically has gotten a lot of hype in the past couple of years. Like, over COVID, a lot of people got into the game.
Right. It's bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah. And so the problem is, you know, you've got like 1,000 slots, which just isn't enough anymore for everybody to get in.
Well, yeah, and the moment you add money, which they did a few.
Well, they added more money this year, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, it, like, it's $10,000 now if you win a regional instead of five.
Wow.
Yeah. It, the prize pool essentially doubled.
Oh, I wish they went further than just top 32. I wish they at least made it to top 64 gets something.
Well, no, you do get something, but it's packs.
Yeah, okay.
You get, like, half a booster box if you get... If you get up to top 64, I think top 64 probably should have just gotten $500 or something.
I think so too.
But it's fine. I mean, part of me, this scares me because I think it's just going to make it things like scary competitive now.
Oh yeah.
Right. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. As long as they do this, I mean, cups and challenges are back, but those have kind of also been relatively insane lately.
Right.
Well, it depends where you go. Like, I was watching my local group, and there were some challenges that are, like, fill up, and they have, like, 30, 40, like, up to 60 people.
Yeah.
And then I saw one that ran the other night that had 12. And I'm like, okay, cool.
See, I live in Ohio, though, where it's, like, really intense here. And so every challenge minimum has 20-some players. It's really bad.
No, I understand. I have a regional coming to my town, so everyone's, like, you know, up in arms, like, oh, we gotta go play, we gotta have
fun. Well, I'm kind of hoping that NAIC not being in Columbus this year, like, calms everybody down. Like, that's honestly my hope, is that it's just all gonna calm down because regionals isn't here anymore. But, all right, or nationals. Go. This is you, Juju, yeah.
Yep, there's a Retro Community Day this Saturday, September 2. But they didn't announce what it was for before GoFest.
Yeah, because GoFest is happening right now as of recording.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Finally,
not much to say there.
Yeah, finally TCG stuff for you, Claude.
Oh, yeah. The McDonald's Happy Meal cards are live in the UK. So it's going to hit the US shortly. Good luck.
Have fun buying 100 Happy Meals for Pokemon cards.
I'm going to go buy a single Happy Meal and make that my McDonald's for the year.
That is, good luck before you get all the scammers buying all the cards.
It's fine. I'm not, like, the McDonald's Happy Meal. So I'm of particular interest because I just care about competitive cards. So I have zero cares about the McDonald's Happy Meal cards.
Oh, yeah, same.
Right.
I just don't care. Like, none of them are competitive, which is probably intentional. If they are competitive, they are just reprints.
But Sam, I want to see. I don't even know what they are.
I could probably pull them, but we can do so. All right. Puckle's Pokey opinion. How do you feel about so many Pokemon in the DLC being callbacks to Gen 3 so far? What do you mean about that person who wrote this?
That's a weird question.
So many Pokemon in the DLC are callbacks to Gen 8, which I think is very weird. Just like the fact that we got a Duraludon evolution, a Driplin evolution. Now we got Poltergeist. I don't like using conversion evolution because I don't think that's actually an official Pokemon term, by the way. I hate it. It's not.
No, is it regional fake?
No, that's also not a Pokemon term. A regional fake is literally what Ku has been calling them on Twitter. I like just calling them lookalike Pokemon because that's exactly what they are.
The callback I get to Gen 3 is the fact it's like we get Shiftry comes back, Milotic comes back, Metagross comes back. Like
A lot of Pokemon come back though. I think that's just because Gen 3 was missing a lot, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like it's a logical step for Pokemon that haven't been released.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get over 230 new Pokemon are coming back between both DLCs.
I think we're gonna have something like on the order of 700 Pokemon or something eventually by the end of this. Scarlet and Violet. No, I see this all, like, it happened last time, too, where we're only, like, 200-some short or something like that, and it's just, like, perfect for, like, another pair of DLC.
Right.
To just finish it off, and we were talking about this last week with the whole, does Pokemon need to slow down its release schedule, and I think this is, like, a perfect solution. You would make everybody happy if you just finished the decks, took another year for DLC, and you slowed yourselves down, because those obviously don't take the same amount of development as a full game. So it might be a good way. It feels like a good middle ground to just do that. I see nothing but wins other than maybe their profit margins like a little bit smaller, especially if they're going to make new Pokemon with each DLC that comes out.
Right. Although, yeah, I guess so. I try to think whether it would be harder for them to have to remake old Pokemon or just come up with new ones from the get-go, which they would not have something to tie it back in a development sense. Well, so like, but I do think that the Pokemon development part is the difficult part for them, mm-hmm. and it's the reason why the rest of the game always looks chunky. It's because they spent so much time on all their Pokemons that
I'm really okay with it. I just think that they need to. I imagine like Driplin, Poltergeist, and Archaladon. Or all Pokemon that were probably designed for Gen 8 originally, to some extent. And
I don't think Diplin was.
Driplin, I think, absolutely was. They were halfway with
Diplin,
the G-Max.
Not Driplin.
Oh, Diplin. I think Diplin was still. I still think Diplin was.
Okay.
I think Diplin was just absolutely designed as an idea. It probably is like a G-Max idea first or something of that sort. Or maybe that was even like an original like Applin form instead of it being Applin.
I still think there's a bunch we don't know about the DLC that I'm excited to find out more about in, what, 3?
Oh, yeah, it's very soon. It's like 3 weeks away. Less than that, actually.
Yeah. No, it's 3 weeks.
It's 2.5. It comes out on Wednesday.
3 Wednesdays from now.
Is it 3 Wednesdays?
Yes, that's the 13th.
But the next Wednesday is like half a week away.
The 30th.
Away. So it's 2.5 weeks.
Yes. It's 3 Wednesdays from now. That's why I said
2.5 weeks.
Potatoes, potatoes.
Yeah, we're going to argue. All right. So that's, I think that's going to be it then, guys, for the news. We do have Puckle's Poke Quiz. So we're going to cue that up. Ooh. And we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Let's go.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. Our first question today is going to come to you from Umbreon1080. Which generation was the only one to not add a normal flying type Pokemon?
Interesting. 6, 8, or 9.
I was going to say, it has to be one of the last two, because...
It's either six, eight, or nine. What's the normal flying in 6?
I feel there was one, but I can't remember. Right,
Baby
now.
Fletch. Baby Fletch, yes. Was normal, yes. I think. It wasn't fire. Okay, so it's not 6. Yeah.
8. I think 8 has one. I think it's 9.
I have to just figure out between the two. Where is it? Which one is it?
Yeah. Okay. So, we got electric flyings. We got, I don't recall seeing any normal flying in Gen 9.
No, not new ones, I mean. I'm trying to, it's between those two generations. I have to just go through the list of stuff in my head. Because.
Wow, Sherlock. Your mind palace.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm, exactly what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, all right, okay, it's one of those two. And I'm missing something, and it's gonna hit me, and it's gonna be fine. Gen 9 has Squawkabilly.
Oh, right.
So it has to be, I think, Gen 8.
Okay, that's a good call. Okay, I can go with Gen 8.
I would say Gen 8.
Generation 8 is correct. They did not introduce
nice
because both Corvus Squire and Rookidee are both just pure flying.
Yeah.
Nice. Keep that palace door open.
All okay. Right. Continue then. Let's move on. You guys are 1 for 1. Our next question is going to come to you from, let's say, 2Crow48. In Generation 2, steel types are immune from poison. However, they can still be poisoned by what attack?
Oh, I know this. I think I know this.
Oh, gosh.
Wait. In Gen 2 only, we're not talking about any other gen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. There's a move that poisons that wasn't poison.
Right, in Gen 2. Exactly. And I can't remember which one it was, but was it...
Was it a bug move?
No, I thought about a bug move, but I'm not, I don't know.
My only thought is something like Twin Needle, because I think Twin Needle poisons.
Oh, it does?
I think it does. I could be entirely wrong, though. Yeah, I can't think. My Gen 2 knowledge is just in the tank. Because there's no normal moves.
I'm gonna need an answer here.
Yeah. I'm in my mind cabbage.
cabbage, okay.
tent. My mind tent. And I in my mind tent...
I think it's Twin Needle.
You think it's Twin Needle? I don't recall Twin Needle poisoning, but hey, I'm willing to go with it. Because I can't remember anything else. I know it happens. I just can't remember what was the move.
Okay, Twin Needle is your final answer?
Yes.
Twin Needle is correct.
Oh! Sorry for doubting you, Claude.
It is correct. You guys are 2 for 2 there, then. Twin Needle nice. Can poison because it's a bug-type move. It will hit steel-type Pokemon.
Nice. Yeah, I did not remember Twin Needle poisoning at all.
I had this weird memory of a Beedrill poisoning a Fortress, and I'm like, I couldn't remember if that's fake or not, or what generation it was. I'm like...
All right, this one is going to come to you from Smeargle19. This is your Pokedex entry question. Its Pokemon Shield entry reads, they live in sunken ships or holes in the seabed. When this Pokemon grapplocked battle, the loser becomes the winner's meal. Who's that Pokemon?
That sounds easy enough. That's the, that's the name. No, the,
Are you talking about the Anchor?
The Anchor, yeah.
Oh, Delmise.
Delmise is unfortunately incorrect, so we're going to move on to the second entry. Its Pokemon Moon entry reads, it battles skillfully with its 6 arms, but spends most of its time peacefully meditating in caves deep beneath the sea.
Wait, 6 arms? So it's not an octopus?
No.
Oh, Pokemon Moon. The fossil guy. Barnacle. Something. Barnacle Boy. Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Is this your final answer?
Yep, my final answer is Barnacle Boy. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, Barnacle is unfortunately also incorrect.
No!
The answer to this question is Galissapod.
Galissapod,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, your next question is your multi-answer question. You've got a chance for up to 3 points here. There are, it looks like in this one, there are 11. We're going to go with this one. There are 11 answers. Right. So for every 2 of them you give me, I'll give you a point. If you get all 11, I'll give you a hug and a high five, I guess.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Virtually.
The pressure is on.
Yeah. There are 11 answers, so I just need 8 of them. If you get all 11, though, we will give them to you. So every 2 of them you give me, I will give you a point. You do have 3 strikes and then you're out. You do have to lock in every answer. This is from the Once and Future Gamer. There are 11 Pokemon that evolve at level 15 or under that are not bug type. Who are they? Level 15 or under.
Oh.
All right, are we counting, you know, friendship evolution in there?
No, these are all Pokemon that evolve via level up.
Okay, yeah. Level up.
15 or lower.
All right, so Cyndaquil to Quilava is 14.
You locking that in?
I'm locking that in.
That is correct. That is 1.
Oh, my.
Halfway right. to a point.
Yeah. Lotad and Seedot both evolve at 14. Locking those in.
Those are both correct, so that's 3. You got yourself a point.
The other starter that evolves at 14 is Chimchar.
You locking that in?
I'm locking that in.
That is also correct. You are halfway, You only need 6 for full credit, I just realized.
Do we count 15 or not count 15?
We do count 15.
Okay, Sentret, defer it. 15.
That is correct. That is 5. I only need one more and you get full credit.
Okay, do you sure I do have one, or do you want me to just end this?
Please end it. End the question and my misery.
Oh, okay. Marie, 15.
That is also correct. That gives you guys full credit on the assignment.
Do you want more?
Awesome.
What do you have? What do you have? There's 5 more.
Starly to Staravia is 14, I believe.
Yep, you are correct.
I believe Picky Peck to Trumbeak is 14.
That's also correct. That's 8. That's 8. If you get all 11, I'll give you an extra point. I'm just going to put this out there right now. But you don't have very long.
Okay. Shinx is 15.
That is correct. There are 2 more.
Gosh, dang it.
Go, Claude, go.
I don't remember what is a level and what isn't a level anymore.
I wish I could help, but I literally all my memory goes to Pokemon. 20
seconds. 20 seconds, I need an answer.
just go. We're done.
Okay. All right. So the two that you were missing were Why Not. Why Not evolves into Wobbuffet at 15.
I thought it was Friendship. Gosh. All right. Yeah. Well.
And Bidoof to Bidorel.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why I thought 15. That was 20.
Yeah, it's not 20. It's actually just like 15. It's actually really low. It's just nobody ever gets their Bidoof that low, like that high. They dump Bidoof like before like gym 2. So, all right. So that gives you guys 3 additional points. So you guys are 5 for 4. Your next question is your base stat question, as always, is going to come to you from Fiamon. Out of every fossil Pokemon that came from fossils, which has the lowest defense stat?
The lowest defense stat of Pokemon that came from fossils.
Yes, this even includes, you know, so not NFEs are involved here as well.
I remember that the squishiest one, although it might be just because it's ice. Amarsaurus?
Amora. It's also rock, and rocks just have good defense. This is tougher than I want it to be.
Well, all... aren't all, well, not the newer ones, I guess, the mismatches ones.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I thought that all fossils are.
Because the only other one that comes to mind is Kranidos, because Rampardos is a glass cannon, and so baby Rampardos is also a glass cannon. I'm trying to think of who I don't see in Little Cup. And I see Amora.
Okay.
It's not Steel. It's not Aerodactyl. I don't think it's Omanyte or Kabutops. I think they both have, like, very good defenses.
Right.
Let me go through the gens. It's not Anorith. Anorith, I know, has good defense. It's not Laleep. Gen 4... I said it can be Kranidos. Gen 5 had fossils? No.
No, I don't think so.
No. Gen 6, Binnacle and Amora. I think... And then it's not any of the ones from Gen 8. So it's either Binnacle, Amora, or Kranidos. It's between those three... I think it's Kranidos, but it could be, it could be Amora or Binnacle, I guess.
I mean, it's, Amora sounds like it, and I'm totally just riffing here, good special defense, but I don't know if its defense is good.
It's a rock type. They all have decent defense.
Okay.
I think.
Then, I'm totally good with whatever you choose. Then if you think it's critical,
I think it's Kranidos. I really
your
think it's
Your mind palace is better than my mind tent, so.
I'm just thinking of which Pokemon's the most frail, and that's the only one I can think of that's, known for being frail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kranidos is what you're going with?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kranidos is correct, with a base stat of 40, which is also the lowest of all rock types.
Oh.
Wow. Fun fact. And then, following that up, though, is Archon with 45, Anorith with...
Oh, I forgot about Archon and, the turtle.
Anorith is 50, and Rampardos is actually the next lowest after that was 60.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so you got it right, though, so you guys got 6 points today, so that's good for you.
Heck yeah!
We're gonna go ahead and add your scores to the sheet. And it is going to change up our standings. Mostly because Claude's on the board now.
I'll be back for like every other week.
Forever now. All right. So in first place in our race to 40, we've got Seth Vila with 25. In second place, we've got a 3-way tie between Mark Linnean and Shark with 14 apiece. In fifth, we've got a 2-way tie between Jushiro and R Sigma with 12. In 7th, we've got Whimsicott with 11. In 8th, we've got Sublime with 8. And tied for last place, we've got Shamu and Claude with 6.
Woo!
Race to 40, so whoever gets there first wins the day. Until next time, though, guys, we are going to kick it on over to our topic. Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh!, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout. Get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is another top five types, because Thatch hasn't been in his house. And we're going to go ahead and jump right on in to it. Our type today is going to be top five electric types, top and bottom five. So for those of you who have not been to the show before and listened to one of these, what we do is we take a type and we're going to go around and we're going to nominate somebody either for top five or bottom five of the specific type. This week it's electric, and we're gonna discuss whether that Pokemon belongs to the top five or the bottom five based on a number of criteria, and it's basically just how we feel at the end of the day. There's very little consistency at the end of the day, but then of course we want to know what yours are at the end of the day, so please email those to us when you get a chance. All right, so let's jump into it. So I'm going to nominate for top five right out of the gate one of my favorite Pokemon of all time, and that is Electivire. I mean, I think Electabuzz is probably cooler, but
I think Elekid's the cool one.
Elekid's actually also very cool. Okay, so actually, you're not wrong, Claude. The level of coolness does increase as you decrease its evolutionary state. You are not wrong.
I love Elekid. It's just like, I think it gets worse as it goes up, and I'm like, ugh.
To be fair, Electivire is really weird because Electabuzz is like a special attacker, and then Electivire just turns into this physical attacker.
And Elekid is mixed.
Yes, it's very confusing. Electabuzz doesn't know what it wants to be ever, and it just becomes everything. I mean, I think Electivire wins in the Gen 4 Evolution Wars out of Pokemon who get evolutions. I think...
Yeah.
Yes.
Electivire comes out, like, unscathed.
Besides, like, losing to Yanmega.
Yeah, Yanmega is pretty good, but I think like Electivire, at least design-wise, looks way better than any of the other Gen 4 evolutions.
I agree with you.
Like, it's top tier there. It made it out okay. It made it out relatively unscathed. There's a reason they used that one and not Magmortar to hype up Gen 4.
The question now is it good enough to be on the top 5?
I mean, I would be okay with Elekid, in all honesty. Like, if we want to go the Elekid route, I'm really okay with Elekid.
I mean, I love Elekid.
I'm okay with that.
I think we just do that with like a nod to Electivire being like, you're also cool, but Elekid's the cooler of the three.
Right. I agree. I like that.
Yeah, I'm not against that. Yeah, Elekid's there. Done.
Love it.
Bottom five, Morpeko. I just don't think Morpeko needed to exist ever.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I feel like this is going to be, like, the bottom five is going to be filled with Pika clones, by the way.
We will see.
Just because most Pika clones, I think, are poop.
They are bad. Doesn't mean they're not fun.
Right.
That's true. But I think a lot of them, especially like the earlier ones, are definitely just bad.
How dare you insult my precious boy.
Are just bad. But yeah. All right. Whoever wants to go next. I haven't decided the order, so.
I can go next. And okay. I would be completely remiss if I do not nominate.
You have to do it.
I have to do it. In the name of not just me, but Bo. It is Jolteon, my baby boy, has been representing electric since Gen 1, and since the moment I locked eyes to it, has been and always will be my favorite Pokemon. It's iconic.
Something that people can't see, by the way, is somebody already just put Jolteon in the top 5 before we even discussed it.
Yep, that was me.
I assume it was Claude. I was going to like hem and haw because it's an Eeveelution.
Yeah. I can't argue with it. It's like,
but like of the like the first three Eeveelutions, it is definitively the coolest one.
Yeah,
it is the coolest one. Like of the original three, and even then, I think it, like, when I think of Eeveelutions and I think about which ones are the best, even, like, in general, I'm just like, Jolteon's just always there. It's, like, pretty decent most of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it did take a hit with losing Signal Beam, but it's still fine. It's still fine. Like, I...
But it got Calm Mind now, though.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Jolteon being a Pokemon, being in the top five.
Yay! We did it!
I wonder, is this the first time we've put an evolution in? It might actually be the first time we've put an evolution in.
Did Dark not get Umbreon?
Yeah, did Dark not get Umbreon? That's surprising.
Oh, wait, Dark got Umbreon. Dark got Umbreon. Yeah, okay. I'm like, Umbreon actually needs to be there.
I was gonna time travel to whenever that episode was and punch people if Umbreon was in the top five for Darks.
It's like the definitive Dark type, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking through, and I think, yeah, that's the only one.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I don't know if this is gonna be a controversial one, but I believe it belongs in the bottom five, and that's Palmot.
Can we say Palmo and not Palmot?
We said Palmo, and we used Palmo for fighting as well.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But hear me out. It's still bad.
I agree, and I think we should put all of that entire line in the bottom five because it's awful.
It's so unimaginative.
Okay, I like Palmy, and I like Palmot as like as a thought, right? I think
okay.
I like them because I think that if it was just like Palmy to Palmot, I think that is a great two-stage evolution line. I think that is a great line, but Palmo's existence is so unnecessary.
Correct.
Right.
It barely looks different than Palmot. It is so bad. It did not need to exist.
And the thing is, what's most frustrating and why I want to put it in the bottom five is because its gimmick is awesome. I love the idea of having a Pokemon that is a first responder that uses its hands like it were, defibrillizers. And that's genius. It's just, I believe, that the end design for it is so, like, boring. Like, they could have done something better with that.
I really think Palmo just really ruins it, because, Palmy to Palmot, I could see, like, as a straight evolution. That makes sense to me. But, like, Palmo to Palmot, I don't see the difference. I just do not see it.
Yeah, I don't... It's bad.
So, what do you think? It is there? Does it belong in the bottom five?
Yes.
Yeah, at least Palmo.
I'll put Palmo parentheses T.
Yeah.
Okay, temporary, just in case.
Yeah, you can pick out of the line.
Oh, the T for... I was like, oh, the T's for temporary. Okay, never mind.
No, the T is for you.
Yeah.
Okay. For my top, I have to go with one of my favorite Electro-types of all time, Ampharos.
Oh. Well,
right there with...
Or, granted, and I can even be persuaded to do Flaffy or Mareep. I just love the electric sheep idea and whole line, and it's been one of my favorites in Gen 2.
I just feel like Mareep is just a solid Pokemon. I'd be better with Mareep than Ampharos. I feel like Ampharos' design is not as hype as Mareep, but Ampharos, I feel like...
You want to put Mega Ampharos then and give it the hair?
No.
I mean, it is hype when you think it's the Lighthouse Pokemon, right? That's why I am like...
Yes.
It's not a Sheepman anymore, but it's a Lighthouse Pokemon, and that design is pretty cool.
That's true. I mean, I'm okay with the whole line, because like, I think the line itself... is very definitive for electric type, especially if you go back to anybody who played Gen 2 games or HeartGold Soul Silver.
Yeah, and especially if you go back to Mega Ampharos. I mean, come on.
It's the first time we got an electric type line early game that was decent.
No, Gen 1 had Pikachu.
Yeah, but that's not real. That was like a 5% encounter rate in Viridian Forest, and it's also Pikachu. I feel like Pikachu... We could have that discussion about whether it belongs in the top or the bottom, but I feel like Pikachu is just so overdone, and it's the mascot at this point.
I didn't even think about him when I did the...
I don't think it deserves a spot anywhere in here. Like, we could argue Raichu. Like, Raichu I could see an argument for, but Pikachu, absolutely not.
Okay. But Ampharos.
Yes.
Ampharos, for sure. I don't see what... Yeah, it's one of the definitive electric-type Pokemon.
But I can't say no to Ampharos. It's just amazing.
Wonderful. All right, and then I'm going to go to the back end and take what I think was a great idea and ruined with Zebstrika.
I don't know that it's ruined, but it is just like Rapidash number two.
It's literally a electric zebra, which, yes, zebras are cool. I'm glad they finally added a zebra, but like they had this cute little guy in...
In Blitzel,
and then it's like, all right, now it's just a zebra. It has no defining features at all. It doesn't get any cool moves. There's no good lore behind it. It's just, you wanted to make a Rapidash clone that's a zebra for Gen 5.
You're making a good argument. I think about Substrika and I like it.
Yeah.
Blitzel I love. I'm purposely talking to Substrika because it goes from this cute little guy to what seems to be an angry zebra.
I mean, also looking at the number of Pokemon that are in electric type, which is actually surprisingly small.
Yeah.
I feel like if I don't say yes to this, because it's not my favorite, I do like Blitzel, but I don't care for Substrika as much.
Oh, I love Blitzel. Blitzel's adorable. It's Substrika's the problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a problem, but I don't know that there are a lot of electric types that I really dislike.
No, I have a couple more.
Yeah, that I really dislike. Like, there's not a lot of them. But, yeah, okay, we could... You know what? We could put Substrika there. That's fine.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so now I've got to pick a favorite electric type that I think belongs in the top five. Honestly, I mean, we talked about all of my favorites for the most part. I think that one of them that I really particularly like is, you could definitely shoot me down. I really like Heliolisk. I like the idea of Heliolisk. I think it is very cool. I remember being really hyped for Helioptile and not being let down by Heliolisk when Gen 6 came out. I just think it's a solid electric type that's different. It's not just like, hey, here's, you know, a mouse or something that's like very obviously we're going to make an electric type.
Right.
I really like Heliolisk.
This is getting difficult because
we've
only gone through one round each and they were already full on both.
I know.
And when I look at the list, it's like either we got to get really picky now.
I know. Or we're just going to bang this. We're just going to be the fastest top five of all time.
Forever.
That's the thing is, it's like, I'm thinking like I have a couple more I want to talk about that I know will get shot down. And I'm like, all right.
Well, we get to do honorable mentions at the end, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I say this because I find it hard to argue against Heliolisk. Because I do like it, too.
Well, like, we'll get, like, a rapid-fire round right at the end.
Right. Okay.
And if we think that upsets anybody, we can always dock somebody off the list.
All right, so the way I see us doing the last round is we each put up one more of the top and bottom, and then from those last three, we pick two.
Oh, I like that. Yes, I like that.
We could definitely do that. We can definitely do that, possibly.
Because it's very hard to argue against Heliolisk.
Exactly.
Without bringing up other mons, it's like...
For this last round, then, we'll do that. We'll put Heliolisk, and then we'll choose two from that. I think that's okay.
Okay.
I think that's okay. I don't want to say Toxtricity, but I do want to say Toxel. I think Toxel's design is very weird and awkward.
Yeah.
And it's not even a baby Pokemon, right?
It is a baby Pokemon.
It's the first Pokemon, like, post-Gen 4 to be labeled as a baby Pokemon. Yeah, it's very weird.
Oh, I thought it wasn't, which is what part of what it made it weird for me. It's like, it's a baby, but it's a non-baby? Oh, anyway, it is. Okay.
Even with that classification, I don't like it.
Okay.
I can't argue with it, because I personally love Toxtricity, but it is, you know, that's...
And that's a Pokemon that I feel it deserved a middle.
Either a middle, or you replace Toxel with, like, a more, like... You know, like 10-year-old kind of Toxtricity instead of, you know, punk rocker.
Right. The fact that it goes to baby to a punk rocker immediately, it's kind of weird.
Like, I think the Pokemon that it, Drizzile is a very awkward Pokemon in Gen 8. Like, I don't understand its existence. But you really, like, the design notes from Drizzile to Toxtricity make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Here's what I would have done. It would have been Toxel, and then it would be a very nerdy Pokemon.
Ah.
You know, the type that you would bully at school, and then it evolves in Toxicity.
It does feel like it's missing a middle stage.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know, it's almost as bad as Flittle to Espathra.
Granted, though, I'm glad they went the route of, like, all right, let's just kill the middle stage versus them doing a Palmot type thing.
Yes.
Right.
It's like, all right, if we can't find a good middle, let's just not do a middle at all.
But I think it's the inverse of that, because it's like, it feels like it needs it while Palmot doesn't.
Yeah, Palmot did not need Palmo. Palmo is such a bad Pokemon.
All right, Jushiro, you're up.
Yes, sir. So I liked the trying not to stay in Gen 1. I do like this Pokemon. I do like the gimmick that it's based on batteries, which is, hello, electricity. And that is the Vikavolt line.
Well, okay, so Vikavolt itself isn't based on a battery. It's based on a railgun.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think Grubbin is. I do. Well, Grubbin's not electric.
Charge a bug.
Charge a bug absolutely is a battery / taser.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, actually, I don't know how I feel about Vikavolt. Because, like, I do think it's cool. The problem is it came out in the same generation as Alolan Golem, which I haven't announced because I shoved it in a rock. I shoved it in a rock because it is one of my favorite Pokemon, Alolan Golem.
I'm okay with it rejecting it.
Yeah, I'm going to reject it too. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. Finally, we got a rejection.
Do you want to put a different one up for top that we can vote on later?
Oh, sure. So we can throw in them right now. I would say... Okay, then Zapdos.
Oh, Zapdos is good, but that's Gen 1. I feel like we've got Jolteon. Right. But okay, leave it there. I can't argue hard against it.
We have Elekid and Ampharos at the moment.
Like, yeah.
Like, you gotta stop me before I bring in Lantern, too.
Okay, so for my bottom, and I feel that these come in a pair. And that's Minum and Plusum.
Yeah, I was gonna do that if you did it.
No! I knew it was coming and I just didn't want it to happen.
I'm sorry. Of all the Pika clones, Plusum, Minum, to me are the more boring one.
They are the mostly boring ones.
They are the most boring. I love Plusum.
They are the most boring.
I know. At least you didn't put Emolga down there. That was the one I was willing to fight to the death for. I'm like, no, my Emolga is one of my favorites, but it's not the best.
I wouldn't put Emolga in the top, that's for sure. But
no, I definitely wouldn't either. But I was like willing to fight for him not to be bottom five.
All right. Well, I guess you get to go then, Claude. I think you get to go pick yours.
All right. Then I guess I will go with the Gen 8 hero, Bellybolt.
I mean, of the electric types in Gen 8, I think it's the best one. Or Gen 9, I think it's the best one.
Gen 9? Yep, sorry, Gen 9 hero, Bellybolt. I love Bellybolt.
I think he's a cute idea. I wish he was different. This isn't against Bellybolt. This is against, what's the pre-evolution, the tadpole's name? Oh my, Tadbolt, right? Or
Tadbulb.
Tadbulb, that's right. Tadbulb. I wish Tadbulb looked different. I hate the way it looks.
I just like the frog.
I don't mind the Bellybolt. I'm not against Bellybolt. I just want to see more from Bellybolt.
Okay. I can give you another one if you prefer, being Lantern, to keep this all Gen 2.
I nominated Heliolisk, by the way, who is a Gen 6 Pokemon.
I know. The other one that I should consider is Electros. Because I love the idea of an electric eel type Pokemon. It's the first electric type that has a pure electric that has a levitate, so it has no weaknesses. It has such a cool move pool.
Yeah. How have we gotten this far without Rotom?
Because Rotom is just, he's there. He's not the best, he's not the worst.
I don't know. Like, I think he's great.
I mean, he's pretty best. Yeah.
Fine, put Rotom in there.
No, it's fine. I think we could go. You nominated.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
You can nominate Bellybolt.
Put Rotom there. Why not?
I mean, do you like Rotom?
No, he's normal, actually.
It doesn't matter.
It's your, okay. Well, who would you put on the bottom? I see two of those names that you put on the list, and there's one of them I hate more than the other, and I feel like you can...
The top or the bottom?
The bottom, for sure.
Yeah, great. Okay. Because my bottom one is going to be Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton's awful.
And the reason why it's Bolton is because I love Yamper. Yamper is a cute, adorable little puppy, and then they ruin it. He was a happy puppy, and then he turns into this, like, an actual, like, slick, agile dog. No, I had my fat baby.
I don't. Why didn't they just make it evolve into a? They make a corgi evolve into
a dashhound.
A dashhound, and I'm just like, what's going on? No, make him another corgi. Make him just a bigger corgi.
Make it a bigger corgi. Yes.
Or make it do like Ditto and evolve into three corgis or five corgis and make it like the royal. Just a bunch of corgis.
They could have gone a whole like royal theme with it, where it's, all right, you have this baby corgi and then it grows a crown because of royalty. I'm like, oh, that would have been such a cool idea.
That would have been amazing.
It could have become like an electric fairy type or something interesting.
Yes, exactly. And they missed an opportunity with
Bolton. Is a missed opportunity. Okay, so based on the three that we have, like, if I have to vote for bottom, Bolton's definitely on the bottom.
I agree with that.
I agree.
And then you could pick one of the children.
Bolton is 1,000% on the bottom. And then I feel stronger against Toxel than I do Plusle and Minum.
I agree because I love Plusle.
I don't agree, but I can go with it.
J- Jushiro is a warrior for peace, so he decides that Toxel is the choice.
Yes. I'm not going to fight it. Because I don't like Toxel, but Plus and Minus forever has been in my mind like these, like...
Yeah.
Let's just split the difference and put mine in.
You know what? Okay, I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with that.
Because Plusle is mine.
I have like 1,000 shiny Minum.
Yeah, okay. And then we've got... okay, so for the top, we've got Heliolisk, Zapdos, and Rotom.
I think Heliolisk makes it.
I like Zapdos.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Zapdos is top five. It's iconic. But I feel like it's too much. It's too iconic. It's like Pikachu iconic, you know?
Oh, I getcha.
Well, granted, at that point, though, you have to say Rotom is iconic. Because think of all the new Rotom devices. I love that, like lore, though, behind Rotom. Is the fact that it can go in all these devices and become its own separate new Pokemon. I'm surprised we don't have more Rotom forms that are Pokemon yet.
I'm surprised that they didn't give us any... the Pokedex and the phone, well, they've really just laid on the phone. Because Gen 8 and 9 just both used the phone.
What was the Rotom in 7, then?
The Rotom phone was not in 7.
Oh, the Rotodex. Okay, yeah.
It was just a Dex. It was like its own Dex. I think the Rotom Dex was essentially like a prototype for the phone in terms of design, not in terms of like actual lore.
Well, they decided that, like, oh, we're going to switch Rotom to being this handy dandy thing. And like, yeah, I do, so do I.
I think that's a point against Rotom, if anything, that we're getting these cool... I think that's actually a point against it. That it's wasted potential. Man.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything else you want to look at for like a top tier Pokemon for electric?
Yeah, because we've got Zapdos and Rotom. I mean, I like Raikou more than I think Zapdos.
I mean, you want to talk electric, I'm going to bring in Iron Hands. I think it's such a cool Pokemon.
Especially with Raging Bolt coming out. Throw some hands. Actually, I'm not entirely against Iron Hands. It's also very, very good in VGC right now.
I loved Hariyama, and the fact that they gave Hariyama an actual good form is kind of fun. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Tapu Koko was also really good when it was out. Regieleki, I don't really want to talk about it, just, yeah.
Oh, Zerkatry, how lovely art thou, plugs, something.
Zerkatry was one of the best Ultra Beasts, okay?
I mean, are we gonna mention, like, Togedemaru or any of the other fun Pika clones that I think are adorable?
I think they're adorable, I don't think they're top material. Does anybody feel strongly about something that they really think needs to be up there?
Maybe,
not really.
I like Galvantula too.
Well, I have a Galvantula, which I really like, Joltik and Galvantula.
I mean, I would fight for Emolga, but I mean, it's not worth it.
Galvantula's okay. I'm not against Galvantula.
Exactly. That's my thought process. I want to still fight for Lantern, because I think Lantern's a great electric type.
Yeah, I would not allow it. I would not allow that.
You're right, and Gen 2 is just better for electrics, I'm sorry.
Lantern's cool, but I feel like we've got a lot of Gen 2 up there.
I love Gen 2.
Gen 2 is just better. Stop. Hard stop. Gen 2. That's why I'm like Iron Thorns. We could get more Gen 2 in there without getting Gen 2 in there.
Well, like, I'm trying to think, like, if there's anything else like truly, you know, interesting. It's fun, and I'm like, I guess Maraidon's kind of cool, but I at that point, though, I'd rather fight for Tapu Koko.
Yeah,
yeah, but too new to, yeah,
or even the new Raikou.
Yeah, right.
No,
right.
We haven't even talked about Luxray.
Luxray is again wasted potential. They should do something with Luxray. Luxray needs something. It needs something.
It needs speed.
It needs a lot more than speed, but,
yeah, the only other, like, iconic Pokemon that I can think of and see in the list is Raikou.
We put Suicune on water, though. Like, are we just gonna add all the dogs? More Gen 2 electric? Did Entei make fire? I don't think.
Yeah, did Entei make fire? Did Entei make fire? No, okay. Well, then, we could... I think if we were gonna choose, I think Zapdos is more iconic than Raikou.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Zapdos, got it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree.
Well, you know what, Zapdos, just put Zapdos there. The OG Thunderbird.
We try not to do it, we spent about 10 minutes.
So this is, so my hard take is that after Gen 2, they just didn't know how to make good electric.
Yep.
They didn't know how to make good electric types. I repeat, there's one in the top five.
Yeah, there's one. That's true. Okay. You're not wrong. All right. So for those of you, well, no, we did say Electivire was okay as well. We said Electivire was okay.
Yeah.
So in our top five, we've got Elekid with notes to just that whole line being great. We've got Jolteon. We've got Ampharos. We've got Heliot and its whole line. Heliolisk. I would even argue Helioptile is pretty solid. We've also got Zapdos up there as well. In the bottom five, we've got Morpeko, Palmo. We've got Zebstrika, Boltund, and Minum. So, of course, feel free to disagree with us at home, friends. Email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what your top five and bottom five electric types are.
If I see anyone that has all Pika clones in their top five or bottom five, ooh, I'm going to have to get some iron hands on y'all. I'm very much against my Emolga being in a bottom five. It's not a bottom five electric.
If it was the bottom five, I don't think I'm totally against it, honestly. what we need yet is we need like one bottom five Pokemon that's a dual type to be in the bottom of one type and then in the top of another. Like, I really want that one day. That's what I really want.
I don't think that'll happen.
No, it won't. All right, though, guys, that is it for the topic. We are going to go ahead and kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop.
Episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 570, Hisuian Zorua, the spiteful fox Pokemon.
It's Pokedex Legends Arceus Pokedex entry states, a once departed soul returned to life in Hisui, derives power from resentment, which rises as energy atop its head and takes on the forms of foes. In this way, Zorua vents lingering malice.
Woo.
Wow.
What are the stat differences? Oh, it gets a little less HP. A little less HP, a little bit more speed, a little less attack, a little more special attack. Yeah, it's a fine Pokemon for Little Cup, as we will discuss today. This team that you chose, Claude, is actually very representative of Little Cup meta right now.
I purposely chose this because it wasn't a standard Little
Cup. I mean, there's a lot of players in here that are actually very, very standard.
We are missing the biggest, some of the bigger people in Little Cup right now.
I mean, Hisuian Zorua is very big in Little Cup right now, though.
It is very good in Little Cup, yes, but it's not like the it's not one of the staples that you see on like every team.
I do agree with that.
There are two that I'm thinking of specifically that are on two or three that are on every team.
Well, now you have to say them because otherwise I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So the best Pokemon in Little Cup at the moment is Hisuian Voltorb.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's surprising. Okay.
It's very fast, and with Terra, it's absolutely insane.
It's very good.
It's very good. Crabrawler is the best fighting type that we have in this moment, because we no Timber, no Mianfu.
Yep.
And it's just, it's bulky enough to take hits.
As soon as Mianfu shows back up, though.
Yep. The other big thing we're missing is Glimmette. Glimmette is a really, really strong mon in Little Cup. There are a couple of counters to it. No Diglett, either, is another big Pokemon that we do not have on this team, so... the only big thing that we do have is Drifloon. Drifloon is nuts at the moment.
All right. So, Zorua, though, is one of the only Pokemon to receive a shiny plush officially by the Pokemon Company. Fun fact. You can buy one of those. Hisuian Zorua, that is. I mean, that's cute. I appreciate that. I don't know what to tell you other trivia about it, other than the Hisuian Zorua Arc V deck was pretty good. Or for fun, at least. I don't know if it was good, but it was fun.
It's okay. Yeah.
It was okay.
It was all right. It's still okay now. It's just...
It's outclassed. That's the problem, right? It's just outclassed. I mean, it might be good, actually, against, like... Well, no, Gardevoir has good heal.
I don't think it hits high enough numbers.
It can hit 280 or 300, I think.
280. Yeah, it's 280 with DTE, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, 280, though, is... That's what... What's its name hits?
Giratina.
Giratina hits. So, yeah, it does take a lot of setup to get there, but it does hit that. All right, though, let's go ahead and jump into the team this week. It is a Little Cup team. We've got your Hisuian Zorua holding an Eviolite like most of the Pokemon on this team.
has the ability Illusion, so it can actually turn into another Pokemon, and so your opponent doesn't really know if you're leading Hisuian Zorua or if you're leading, you know, a different Pokemon. One of the big ones you might want to be is either the Houndour or the Stunky on this team.
All three of those mons all get Nasty Plot and Dark Pulse and some sort of fire move, usually. So
yeah,
it can easily fake out what it is to other people.
Yeah, so you can absolutely do that. I mean, it's mostly special attack and speed. I don't want to read the EVs because Little Cup EVs make no sense because level 5. Timid Nature, though, so you can go fast. I believe it tops out at 17 speed in Little Cup. It's Nasty Plot, Terra Blast, so you can hit fighting-type moves on other normal-type Pokemon that aren't Zeraora. You can also get Bitter Malice and Extra Sensory just for a little bit more coverage. Additionally, we've got that Houndour, also holding Eviolite because this is, in fact, Little Cup. Flash Fire, Terra-type Grass.
Also 17 speed.
And 17 speed, yep. Also, same. We're boosting that special attack as well. Timid Nature, Nasty Plot, Dark Pulse, Flamethrower, and Terra Blast, again, for coverage against some nasty water types that might show up. And then I'm going to let you go ahead, Claude, and tell us some more.
So, up next we have Stunky, the third of the Nasty Plotters, that actually hits 18 speed.
Stunky is surprisingly fast in Little Cup.
Yep, it's a very good mon in Little Cup. I think it's a little good. With the Eviolite Aftermath ability, Terra-type Ground, if you need it. Mostly speed and special attack, Timid Nature, with Nasty Plot, Dark Pulse, Fire Blast, and Sludge Bomb. But the other part of the main part of the team is a Surskit. Surskit with Eviolite, Terra-type Ghost, to potentially, you know, help out with anti-hazards or anti-spin. Mostly speed, then a bunch in defenses to help bulk it out. Timid Nature, I said Eviolite, ability Swift Swim, with Sticky Web, Hydro Pump, Giga Drain, and Icy Wind. So the majority of this team is to try and set up rocks, and then once you have, set up webs, and then once you have webs up, any of the Nasty Plotters can potentially just win the game on the spot if you get a Nasty Plot up. Webs are very good, and it's very difficult to take them down, and especially when the best counter to webs is Drifloon, and you have three Pokemon that can deal with Drifloon fairly easily, or kind of well, so especially after a Nasty Plot. That is the main set of that. It's speed control and then set up and try and win. And you have other ways to do it too. But Juchiro, close us out.
Of course. We're going to go with Toad School with an Eviolite, of course. The ability Mycelium Mike. Could someone remind me what was that?
Any status affecting moves go last in the priority bracket.
Okay. For your Pokemon, not for...
Yes, for your Pokemon. Specifically for Spore.
And then, of course, Terra type Water. We got the Jolly Nature, and the attacks are Earth Power, Knock Off, Rapid Spin, and Spore. I think most of those speak for themselves.
Yes, its sole purpose is anti-hazards against you, Knock Off, and Spore.
And then closing out with the aforementioned Drifloon, with Oran Berry. That's interesting. Why the difference? Why everyone else has Eviolite, but...
Because of the ability.
Oh, gotcha. Unburden. Right. And of course, the Jolly Nature, Terra-type Flying. It has Tailwind, Acrobatics, Will-O-Wisp, and Destiny Bond.
Yeah, the purpose of Drifloon is, one, a Fighting-type counter in some regard, especially with Terra-type Flying. Once the Oran Berry's procced, Acrobatics goes nuts. There's not a lot of Steel-types or Rock-types in the tier, so it just hits incredibly hard. Having Will-O-Wisp to burn things is very good, plus they'll be incredibly fast after that. Tailwind is in case you don't get your sticky webs up and you know it's going to die. So you can easily Tailwind and then go into something else. And then Destiny Bond is just, you can usually trade 2-for-1 with most Drifloon. So that's the goal.
I mean, I really do like Drifloon in Little Cup. That speed is just nasty. And
I think it's 17 before and...
It's 17 before and then you go to 34 with Unburden, right? So, which is really insane. It outspeeds every Choice Scarf user. And not to mention, it also has 17 to begin with, and Tailwind, so you can make the rest of your team fast as well. I mean, there's a lot of speed control on this team, which I think is very important in Little Cup. I really like Little Cup. It's a good way to learn the game. It's just very good at teaching you speed tiers and speed control. But yeah, other than that, I don't have anything extra. We are going to go ahead. We're going to give away this team and the team from last week. to the patrons over on Patreon this week, only because I was out last week and I wasn't able to set up the bot slash be able to maintain the bot while I was gone, so I didn't want to make that promise to you. So there are going to be 12 Pokemon up on Patreon this week, so please go ahead and check that out. And of course, if you would like to support the show, go over there and grab some. Until then, though, guys, we are going to go and we're going to kick it on over to our mailbag.
It's mail time! You got me! Send in your emails! You got me! Mail!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And let us know what you think of a mailbag question, or let us know anything else that you'd like to know. Let us know. Our question last week, I believe, was
sponsored by the fictional energy drink
and Green Taurus. But let me. Our mailbag question last week was, I almost forget. It was what you thought about the DLC and everything, I believe. This segment, like Claude was saying, is sponsored by the fictional energy drink Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves. Sorry, I thought that happened first. My bad.
I don't remember. It changes all the time. So our first email is going to be from the Aussie Crocodile. Actually, we asked you guys if Pokemon needs to chill out. I was 1 week behind. I'm sorry. If Pokemon needs to slow down the release schedule. So the Aussie Crocodile is the first email we've got this week, and it is going to be from Jushiro.
Yes. G'day, Pokemon crew. Sorry, I can't make an Australian accent, and the world is better for it. The Pokemon company reminds me of my wife baking. Sometimes it's really good, but sometimes not so good. Ooh, side wife burn. But at the end of the day, me and my boys keep shoveling those cookies and cupcakes down. No matter what Pokemon pull out of the oven, the community will always run to the fridge, pour a glass of milk, sit on the couch, and hover it down, or hoover it down?
Hoover it down, like the vacuum.
Oh, gotcha. Do I think they need to chill out? I think they need to dive deep and expand on what they have. You know, add some more sugar and a few more chalk chips. I have recently jumped into Diablo 4. Good game, yeah. I've been playing that too. Bloody beautiful game, might I add. 10 out of 10. I would have gone 9 out of 10. If I was a man on the throne in the Pokemon company, I would follow the Diablo format in the way they would have solid base game campaign, then proceed to release seasons and additional mechanics, stat changes, and seasonal campaign missions and content. Unite is kind of the... Except that it's not PvE, it's PvP, but you should check out Unite, because it's basically that. Anyway, for example, we are approaching the Mewtwo raids. They could have scattered a bunch of NPC around Paldea, all delivering a bunch of missions and content for you to complete and unlock Mew on the lead up to the raid. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, I do agree they should apply.
I mean, that would be cool. I just think they don't have enough time to make a good base game before they do that, so...
Also, within the season, you can build a seasonal team to complete on a rank ladder, which would keep VGC extremely fresh. Fresh, I meant to say. The Pokemon world has a lot of great story and lore. They could fill up with a bunch of seasonal content to beef out each game for a longer period of time. I think from memory, Diablo 3 has 28 seasons, with one more on the way, and even D4 is running out its own seasons. Also, thanks to a bunch of advent calendar distributions, my son's room has been spotless for the last month. His dinner plate clean. Nothing like bribing your kids with trade codes to keep them in line. I love that. Also, he also... that's effective parenting right there. Also, he almost peed himself with excitement after receiving his shiny Arceus. That is just adorable. Anyway, cheers a bunch, the Aussie Crocodile.
Well, thank you for that one, Aussie Crocodile. Our next email this week is going to come from, I guess, Chris. He didn't give us a name. But how the shuckle are you, Puckle? I love the topic, should Pokemon slow down? As a player in his 30s, a 90s baby, I've played since Blue version and had the anime and a pretty steady release of mainline and sideline titles. As I've gotten older and moved away from the anime, I relied on games to keep the fandom moving. Being a security guard in my 20s, I got Black and White and Black and White 2 pretty fast with Sun and Moon. But my ability and time to game has slowed down significantly due to working as a mail carrier and having 3 children and their extracurricular activities. The cycle from Swish to Scarlet and Violet using DLCs was kind of wild. We got Diamond and Pearl remakes, which were what they were, no offense to PLA. I'd actually be really interested in more PLA-style games to the mix-up in the formula. With games like Remnant 2, Tears of the Kingdom, and Warcraft, I've a hard time to dedicate significant time to Pokemon, unfortunately. It's still my before-bed relaxing game, though, so I'm okay with the slowdown. I feel like calling it a slowdown is diminutive to the process, and we should call it quality control. LOL. I mean, he's not wrong, though. On a side note, the new Raikou is really awesome, and too many haters. Let's get way more dinosaurs.
I agree. Too many haters.
Yes, more dinosaurs.
We're at least getting an Entei, right? Like, we're getting an Entei dinosaur. That's happening.
That Raikou is amazing.
There's no way we're not getting an Entei dinosaur. There's no way we're not.
I don't know.
And we're going to fuse them all to make the picture in the book. Let's see. What do you guys think would be a good cycle? I said it last week on the show. I think you could just fit in another year of DLC, and it's probably, like, better in general. But I think with DLC, you can raise development time. Thanks for reading the email and appreciate you guys. You've got me through many Pokemon burnouts. Thanks. Well, thank you for that. All right, one last email. Our last email today is going to be from Nico, I believe.
Nico, yes. What it do, Puckle Crew? Last week I heard the episode a day late, shortly before the Poltergeist reveal. Nothing brought me greater joy all week than the back-to-back of the panel unanimously wishing for anything other than Grass Ghost, followed by the reveal of Poltergeist, obviously Grass Ghost.
Yes.
I love you all. And I'm sorry if I had to chuckle at your expense, but nobody can argue with perfect comedic timing.
None of us wanted it, but I feel like it was just the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
The writing was on the wall. Like, we knew it was going to happen. I just didn't want it to happen.
Oh, very much so. Anyways, I want to talk a little about the Pokemon revealed this August. Hopefully I can keep this organized. Diplin. Oh, so this isn't a convergent or a regional. Did they intentionally try to trick us? Its design vaguely looks like the Evolutions G-Max. What's that about? Who knows?
It's probably because it was a way to honor the G-Max post-G-Max is existing.
Archaladon. I really like how much stronger it looks than Duraludon, which is a real feat since Duraludon looks like it doesn't need to evolve. Also, the new move Electro Shot should be very useful on my boy Heliolisk. Dry Skin, for listeners, heals Pokemon in Rain. And a special electric move that hits faster in Rain makes perfect sense for me. Okay, I can see that being
I think they said it was a signature move, though, on Archaladon, so I don't think...
I think it is a signature move, too.
I don't think Heliolisk will get it.
Iron Crown and Raging Bolt. I agree with Thatch when he says the respective past and future legendary trios will merge. We literally have the official fusions of them combined. We also know that Japan has a precedent for taking dinosaurs/robots and morphing them into a stronger form. Move over Mega Evolution. It's time for Megazord Evolution.
I'm into it. I want to call it that. I want to call it Megazord Evolution.
I'm holding out hope that the trios will become four, with the addition of a Paradox Keldeo and Paradox Ho-Oh. I know Ho-Oh isn't really a fourth in the group, the way Keldeo is, but I would kill to see a big Pterodactyl Ho-Oh. Alright. Plus, Ho-Oh and Keldeo have rainbow-like designs that would go well with the Terra Crown aesthetic. Finally, we're back to Poltergeist. This one makes me realize that all the new non-Paradox Pokemon we're getting are Gen 8. If we could have a fourth and final Gen 8 Pokemon, what should it be? Regional, Wooloo, Convergent, Dragapult, Cramorant Evolution, other, none. Skip Gen 8, on to the next thing. That's my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. A new evolution to spite Thatch.
Yeah, new evolution, new Rotom form.
That's not even a spite. That's like what should just happen. Like,
yeah.
The fact that, like, Rotom Dex and Rotom Phone aren't useful as Pokemon in battle, like, it's gonna be a big deal.
Let's get a Rotom TV form and call it a day.
Well, I think they should just let us use Rotom Phone in battle at some point. Like, that should just be a thing that is allowed.
I always said it. The moment they announced, I remember one of my critiques of, was it Sun and Moon?
Yep.
Is when they announced Rotom Pokedex and it wasn't a playable Pokemon. Like, that beats all, that defeats the whole point of Pokemon. The point is to catch them all, and you can't catch a Rotom Pokedex?
It's a Rotom in the deck. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Wow, this email ended up long, so I'll leave it at that. Oh, and yes, Pokemon needs to chill out and maybe seek some help outside their internal companies. Maybe call up Monolith Soft?
It's another development company. I don't know if it's going to help. I think they have plenty of other things going on than to help them with Pokemon, but...
They apparently saved Breath of the Wild, so they could help steer Pokemon in the right direction. Okay. Bye, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks for that one. I think Nico sparked the most conversation this week.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'd be okay with giving Nico the Green Tauros badge this week. So Nico, you get the Green Tauros badge. Other than that, though, guys, we are going to go ahead and call that a show.
Woo!
Yeah, if you want to email us next week, let us know what your top five and bottom five electric types are. Also, let us know what you think of Poltergeist.
Yeah, why not?
Let us know how you feel about another grass ghost type. We're all thrilled.
Happy, even.
I'm so happy that they gave us another one. All right, so in that regards, though, guys, if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, the best way to do so is come to the Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, follow us over on Twitter or whatever it's called next week. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads and Facebook and all those other things. Additionally, you can go ahead and follow us on YouTube and Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and youtube.com/pucklepodcast. You can, of course, always help support the show by going over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And if you're going to play with cardboard, like myself and soon to poison the well of Jushiro will be, you can use code PucklePod5 at trollandtoad.com to go ahead and get a 5% discount on your order over there. We really appreciate everybody who uses that code to help us out. There's also 151 coming out, and so you can buy their sealed product over there for 5% off. All right, so without further ado, I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been Jushiro.
And I've been Claude Nine.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.